From WCAI in Woods Hole and WGBH Radio Boston, this is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. An international group of scientists and legal scholars are warning that a federal research program called Insect Allies could actually lead to biological weapons. The program is funded by the Defense Advanced Research Projects Administration, or DARPA, who claims that the end goal is to improve agriculture by creating bugs carrying viruses that could genetically modify crops in the field. But critics worry that it could easily be weaponized. Guy Reeves is a postdoctoral genetics researcher at the Max Planck Institute for Evolutionary Biology in Germany. He's also lead author of a recent article in the journal Science raising the alarm about this program. Guy, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
What is it specifically that DARPA is doing that concerns you? Can you just explain what this research project kind of involves?
Well, everyone's heard of genetically modified crops. But DARPA is presenting the idea that this technology is not flexible or rapid enough, and is proposing that rather than having genetic modifications done in the lab and then characterized and then approved by regulators, that genetic modifications of crops could be done on the fly in fields.
I'm assuming that's not a pun there. That's literally by flies, right?
I am English and we do love puns. Yes. So what they're proposing is that viruses genetically engineered to give the capacity to edit another species genome in fields, and then they are released into the environment and seek to infect their target species, which in this case is as a crop. And the means by which they are spread around the environment is that they are to be loaded upon insects. So this is quite a radical change to the way we view genetic modification of crops. It would be a genetic modification laboratory in the field.
Let me just make sure I've got this right. We've got flies or some other insect, bees, butterflies, something, that are carrying a virus. And that virus has some gene in it that's maybe pest resistance or greater crop yield or whatever it is. And so these insects fly around, land on plants, and then those plants would become genetically modified by that virus?
Actually, I haven't been able to explain it correctly, because you've come up with a slightly different outcome. These viruses are actually engineered to edit the genome of the plants. They don't carry a beneficial gene. For instance, they would carry a CRISPR gene editing system, which would be targeted to knock out a gene in the plant chromosomes. So they are actually not really carrying any plant material. They're carrying the capacity to edit plant chromosomes.
So how would that then help agriculture? What would you be getting rid of in existing plants that would in some way make them better?
Well, these are questions you would want to ask DARPA, because they use multiple examples of traits that they would like to be able to introduce into already growing plants in the same growing season. So one of them is tolerance to salinity, drought resistance, pest resistance, but also quite interestingly herbicide resistance. So if a farmer decided one day she or he wanted to use a particular herbicide, but their crop was not resistant, then they could release the insects and the viruses. They would edit the crop to be resistant to that herbicide, and then they could use that herbicide later, maybe a week later or so. How they would actually do this is sort of the point. The part of the reason that I can't answer this question is because to be able to introduce such complex traits is actually very difficult. You would probably need to introduce multiple genes or multiple edits into the plant genome. But if you wanted to cause harm to the plant, you don't really need to introduce genes. All you need to do is knock out a single essential gene. So what we're saying is that in the development pathway towards these very ambitious goals, it's very hard to imagine you wouldn't very much earlier develop the knowledge necessary to develop biological weapons which could either kill growing plants or sterilise growing plants. So one of the big problems with biological weapons is that once you have the information on how to make them, they're actually quite cheap and easy to make. So a large part of biological weapons control is attempting to limit the spread of this information. So DARPA claims that it will publish all the protocols that it establishes in its four-year program, which will be the full establishment of an insect spread gene modifying program. We say that one of the questions is do you really think that DARPA is a good idea to publish an instruction manual on how to target maize in this way?
I mean, that's ironic in some ways that you're thinking here that less dissemination of the knowledge would be better than open dissemination of the knowledge. I mean, that's an unusual stance within the science community. But I also wonder, Guy, you've become a leading voice in criticizing this project. But as you say, it's been going on for 2 years. Why raise the alarm now?
Well, I knew about the program on day one. Because I work on it in a field called Gene Drive. So I had some Google Alerts set up. To be honest, I see that there's a very large DARPA program called Safe Genes, which is about $100 million worth, which funds in part gene drive technology. And there are lots of articles discussing the ethics and the explaining the complex basis behind it. But the Insect Allies program was developed about the same time. There's only about 2 or 3 months in between them. But even if you go to scientific conferences, you'd never hear anyone talking about it. So I'm an evolutionary biologist. I don't really work on biological weapons at all. I don't have any interest in DARPA either, or military programs. But we looked around for people, but the only people we knew that we ever were able to find that had ever heard of the program were actually funded under it. So it seemed like no one was willing to talk publicly about it, even in obvious scientific forums. So along with some legal scholars from a number of universities, we decided to look into it. And it was that combination of biologists and the legal perspective which sort of provided the insight to question, not really that this is a military program. This program, even if it was funded by the US agriculture or a health institute or even a company, it would still have essentially the same problems. And the sort of defense that because it's done transparently doesn't mean that it can't be a problematic idea is rather a flawed one in our opinion. A transparently bad idea is still a bad idea.
Leaving aside for the moment the rather large questions of whether or not the stated end goal is something we would even want to do, one of your major criticisms is that along the way, you're creating knowledge and techniques that could be weaponized. But at the same time, it seems like there is so much research in so many different areas regarding different techniques for gene editing. And you've already said that knocking out a gene and killing plants is far easier than the end goal of this DARPA project. Is this kind of an inevitable result anyway? Couldn't somebody else just come along and come up with this technique for getting insects to spread viruses that kill plants?
I would make 2 points. Genetically modified viruses actually have a history. They people have seen them as attractive, very flexible and quick solutions to a number of issues. And there have even been field trials of them at least 4 times, starting in 1993. But DARPA's program, specifically in giving viruses the capacity to seek out another species in the environment and edit its genome, that is radical. So what DARPA is doing there is far, far outside what the other goals in this field are developing. So yes, anyone could do this, but no one has proposed something like this, and more specifically, no one's funded it. The question about the inevitability is exactly the same inevitability question or concern could be applied to both chemical weapons and biological weapons. But historically, with some extremely horrifying exceptions, have been regulated under, well, principally the Biological Weapons Convention and the Chemical Weapons Convention. And this has been an extraordinarily successful, though imperfect, way by which the entire globe has decided that certain paths of technological development are too risky for us to want to collectively go down. So I disagree, it's not inevitable.
What do you hope will come of raising this alarm?
Mainly we would ask that DARPA answer some of the obvious questions at this very late stage. It's 2 years into their 4-year development program. But probably more importantly is we're not the first ones to point out that genetically modified viruses need to have transnational regulation. We would like to see people start moving towards thinking about whether this is something like conventional biological weapons or chemical weapons, where we either all agree that it's a good idea, or that certain, or there may need to be certain kinds of controls.
Guy Reeves is a postdoctoral genetics researcher at the Max Planck Institute for Evolutionary Biology in Germany. He's also the lead author of a recent article in the journal Science criticizing DARPA's Insect Allies program. Guy, thanks for talking with us.
It's a pleasure.
To get the other side of this story, we turn now to the head of that DARPA project. Blake Beckstein is program manager for Insect Allies. Blake, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
If I can paraphrase here, what the Insect Allies project is trying to do is create systems in which you have insects carrying viruses that can infect and then genetically modify mature plants that are growing out in the field. Why do you think that's necessary? What kind of threat to our food supply do you envision that would require that kind of response?
Well, so modify is kind of overstating it. We're actually working with viruses that provide transient protection to plants. So it's a protection that doesn't incorporate into the chromosome. And so it just provides the genetic material so that the plants can produce proteins that will protect them. And the types of threats that we're interested in range all the way from pathogens that may cause problems in several different commodities, also insects, and then we're also looking at some potential environmental challenges that we're going to have, like drought.
But with something like drought, why not just breed or genetically engineer plants to be more drought resistant in the long term? Why try something like this that, you know, you're thinking about it as being kind of a quick turnaround transient thing? Why not a longer term solution?
Well, when you think about the way that we would engineer that into crops, to get past drought, you're essentially engineering the plants to grow slower, produce fewer offspring, so less seed. So all of these really result in reduced yield. So the systems to put those on board 100% of the time actually have negative consequences on the plant. So what we'd like to do is recognize that these scenarios are occurring in the field and then responding to them appropriately.
But again, why not genetically engineer a switch that comes on when drought happens? I mean, to use a virus to genetically modify things out in the wild is a pretty radical way to try to go about this, is it not?
Well, it's something that we've been doing in crops for many years. We understand these modification systems pretty well. And it actually allows us, this particular system allows us to have a platform where if new challenges do show up in the field, then we can respond to them quickly.
Well, to that point, I mean, how realistic is that idea to think that you could encounter a new threat, whether that's, like you said, maybe drought, but a pesticide, maybe a biological change, a genetic change introduced by, you say on your website, concern particularly about state or non-state actors. So a threat pops up and you want to respond quickly. How realistic is it to think that you could genetically modify viruses to genetically modify plants in the time it would take to, you know, in the course of a few months of one growing season? Wouldn't that take years just to develop that response?
Right. So, well, that's sure. Just as a reminder, this is fundamental research. So we're looking at, you know, developing the platform. So the idea would be if we have the delivery platform with the insect and the virus that's capable of being modified, then we can recognize a threat that is incurred and respond to it, you know, as quickly as possible. We're focusing on trying to accomplish this within that growing season.
There are two major concerns that Guy Reeves and his colleagues have raised with regard to this project. And one of them is the idea that once you put these viruses out into the environment, there's the possibility for them essentially to spread or to modify unintended plants or modify plants in unintended ways. I mean, these are viruses that could potentially evolve in the environment. And he calls this the proliferation risk. What are the DARPA-funded researchers working on this project doing to limit that risk?
Well, we are looking at containment strategies in all steps of the process. So there's containment strategies being employed in the viruses that are being modified. And so, you know, we can go into some examples of that. But some of the ideas are to remove the coat protein. So the viruses are incapable of producing coat protein, so they won't be transmitted by insects.
If they're not transmitted by insects, then how do they actually infect the plants that you want to?
There's some complicated details here that are hard to capture in a short period. But basically, the first generation of virus would have the coat protein supplied potentially by the host plant producing it, or potentially by a co-infection with a virus that produces the coat protein. But as it goes into the target plants, it loses that coat protein and no longer is capable of being transmitted between plants. We're also looking at strategies to limit the insects. And so we have kill switches that we're putting in place. When we put out the call for the program, we didn't ask for a single kill switch within the insects. We were actually asking our researchers to look for not less than three.
And what does that mean, a kill switch?
So similar to the work being done in mosquitoes, where the insects would be, one potential solution would be the insects being produced on a food source that's required for survival. And when that food source is removed, then the insects no longer survive. And then we're also looking at containment strategies in the plants. So there's the possibility of having plant targets, plants that we're trying to give therapy to, be acceptors. And so without the genes for accepting the technology, plants would no longer be capable of accepting it. So that contains them.
So only certain genetically modified crops could be further modified by this system.
Correct. That's that is one of the strategies that one of our research groups is looking at.
I mean, these strategies and Guy Reeves in our conversation with us said, yes, the proliferation risk, while significant, is addressable. Potentially the much larger concern is simply that in the process of developing all of these technologies, you develop also a knowledge base which others could readily take and turn into biological weapons. What are the DARPA-funded researchers, you know, what is the Insect Allies program that you're overseeing doing to address that risk?
Well, first I would, you know, I'd like to say that anytime you're doing really innovative, revolutionary research like this, there always are concerns with dual-use capabilities.
Meaning that somebody else could use it for an unintended purpose.
That's right.
So what are you actually doing to make sure that others don't use these technologies or the information about these technologies in ways that could actually create threats, to create biological weapons?
So we've communicated what we're doing throughout the U.S. government. We've had discussions with State Department, with the USDA, and we've had conversations about, you know, how the technology is being developed. And the development of the technology in the research lab, the oversight, is being conducted by the USDA APHIS. And so we're following all the protocols put forth by the USDA APHIS and also following the governmental rules as put forth by the international treaties.
Does that really do enough to make sure that no one can get the information that would be needed or that would help them to create a biological weapon?
Well, I think there's always a risk-reward way that you have to look at this. You know, I think the benefits to agricultural production, to meeting the challenges of the future, making sure that we are a food-secure population, are really going to require some of these new tools.
Is there actually a credible threat? I mean, you talk about the risk-reward here. Are others trying to develop biological weapons that could warrant this kind of response? What evidence do we have that we really do need a technology that some see as incredibly risky?
Well, I think there are examples right now that are occurring where an approach like Insect Allies would have given us a really fantastic tool that could help mitigate issues. I think if you look at what's happening with the fall armyworm currently in Africa, introduced in April of 2017, quickly spread to almost half the continent. And these are the kind of problems that we want to address, and these problems can pop up very quickly and sometimes unforeseen. And so we want to develop a platform that we can be responsive to those needs in the future so that we can minimize losses in our agricultural sector.
Blake Beckstein is a program manager at the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, where he oversees the Insect Allies project. Blake, thanks for talking with us.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you having me.
Up next, All the President's Salmon. That's Atlantic salmon. When Living Lab Radio continues after a short break.